come over to the house and have a meal with us. And I tell you, I'm blessed to have the pastor that I have. I want to thank Brother Tyler and the youth department for all that you have done for our kids. Our kids have gotten involved and they have absolutely loved it. And I just want to thank you for your part in making this be such a great year. I want to thank the choir. Nobody ever looks back at the choir to say thank you, but you guys are absolutely great. And those of you that are in an orchestra all over the room out here, I want to thank you. And Brother Andrew, thank you for your work with the choir and with the music. Brother Rigsby, you're a blessing too, sir, and I'm so thankful you're feeling better. I'm glad you finally came back after that very long vacation. No, I'm glad to see you back, Brother Rigsby. May God bless you. And for everyone here at the church, I just want to say thank you. If you have your Bibles with you, I'd like to ask you to open them to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. We're going to read two verses, verse 16 and verse number 17 of 2 Timothy chapter number 3. My family and I will be leaving 1 week from Wednesday. 10 days from today, we will be back in Mongolia. I would ask you to pray for us. We have prayer cards that we printed up just last night. We had a new family picture made this week, and so we wanted to put that in our prayer card. It's always a blessing to have an updated prayer card. The one we had last week was a three-year-old picture, and we're so thankful that this has an updated picture in it. Thank Sister Tori Gillett for taking that picture. But if you would take one of those or some on the table out front, or you can ask one of us for one, we'll be glad to get that to you. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Let's all stand if you would. We're going to read these two verses. I'd ask you to follow along as I read verse 16 and verse number 17. The Bible says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Now watch this. "That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the privilege that I have this morning of preaching your word. Lord God, for your word itself and how it speaks to our hearts. Lord, I want to thank you for Jesus Christ, my Savior, for salvation. Lord, I thank you also that you have given us a church family that we can be a part of. Now, Lord, this morning you have put a message upon my heart. And Lord, I pray that you would enable me to communicate that message in a clear way. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would speak through me. Lord, I pray that there would not be any obstacle to that which you desire to do here this morning. Lord, thank you so much for the blessings we've already received just in being here. And I pray, Lord, now speak to our hearts. Lord, we need to hear your voice. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would be honored and glorified through all that is said and done. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Today is Father's Day. And as I went and bought a card several days ago, as I was looking through all the different sections in the store, probably like some of you did late last night, all kinds of cards talking about the perfect father. I don't know about you, but I feel like my dad was a perfect dad. And I want to be a perfect father. But the Bible tells us in the passage that we have just read how God has made a plan for every Christian to be perfect. Not only that, He wants every person to be perfect. Because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So as we look here in this passage, how is it then that we can be perfect? Or how is it that we can be perfected? Well, God has four simple steps that we need to take if we are going to be perfect. So if I were to entitle this message, I would call it Four Steps to Perfection. If you look here in 1 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 16, the Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Brother Mark Loop, I'm going to ask you to help me out if you would and do something that we've already talked about. The Bible says here in this passage that God wants every person to be perfect, and He has a plan as to how to achieve that perfection. Now, if you were to ask me what is the smartest thing that a Christian could do, I would tell you that that would be to obey God's will for their life. Now, right here we have in front of us something that perhaps some of you have seen, and you've all wanted one just like this. No, this is not a chair. This is a car. This is a car. It is one of the world's smallest cars. On a recent trip to Spain, I rented a car for one day because I needed to make a quick trip. And as I went out on that trip, I knew that I needed a car. And so I rented the least expensive car I could rent. And it was also the smallest car I have ever rented in all my life. It's called a smart car. I showed up and I started wondering, was this the smartest thing to do? Not sure about that. Have you ever been in a smart car before? Well, a smart car, first of all, is small. It's only slightly bigger than this chair. There's about a foot and a half in front of you where that they have a miniature motor. And then there's about 1 foot behind you where that you can put your suitcase standing up if it's small. And then you have the choice of getting inside this car. And I'll tell you the truth. I wasn't sure it was the smartest thing to do. One of the things that I find in Scripture is that the smartest thing that we can do is to do what God wants us to do. And here in this passage, I want you to see four things, four steps to perfection. The first one is this: get in. I went to the counter and they said, "Sir, you have rented the smallest car we have, the least expensive car we have. It is a smart car." And I went to it and I looked at it and I said, "Oh my goodness." But the first step is to just get in. Some of you right now, you're kind of looking at the Bible that way. You're saying, "I don't know about this. I mean, is this really God's word? Is this really what I'm supposed to do?" Maybe you came to church this morning because a friend, your child, someone invited you to come and be here in church, and you're looking at this stuff and you're saying, I don't know about this. I don't know about this. You see, the word doctrine is a Greek word that means teaching. And in order to be taught, you have to be in the place where that teaching goes on, and teaching goes on in a school. So the first step to perfection is just to get in. And we have to get in. It is a choice. Some of you made that choice years ago. You said, back when you were a child, you said, I'm going to get in. I'm going to get in the Word of God. I'm going to listen to God's voice. It is a choice, and I have chosen to make that decision. And so you decided, I'm in. Aren't you glad you did? We have to make that choice concerning the place of teaching, the house of God. You had to make a choice to come to church this morning. I didn't see anyone who was brought through that door on a chain or handcuffed. Maybe some of you feel it. You know, you were dragged to church. But coming to church is a decision. And when we come, we have a choice as we observe, as we look around and we think, I believe I'll get in. And we have to get in so many areas in our Christian walk. You see, there's this decision, and it's a decision by faith. And when we come to it and we say, okay, Lord, this is your teaching, and okay, Lord, I'm in. We have to understand that not only is it the place of teaching, it's the practice of teaching. Daily devotions, daily spending time with God. Some of you, perhaps you're looking at this thing of daily devotions and you're saying, well, it might be good. It's quite a commitment. I'm not sure. But it's time to just get in. Get into daily devotions. And so as we look here in this passage, the first step that's necessary if we're going to achieve perfection in God's eyes is to simply get in. The second thing we have to do if we are going to reach perfection in God's eyes is to get it. Now, what does that mean? Well, when I got in, I suddenly remembered the voice of that lady at the rental car counter. And she said, "Now, sir, there's a few things you need to know about the smart car. First of all, the key has to go in a certain place." "Yes, ma'am. I've rented cars before. I'm 41 years old. You can't tell me anything I don't know, right?" I should have paid a little more attention. She told me that this car had a semi-automatic transmission. I'm like, "Okay, I can handle that." She's like, "Okay, all right." That means it is a car that in which you have to change gears, but there's no clutch. Bear in mind, you have to change gears. It will die on you. And so I got in, but I hadn't gotten it. Okay? I got into the car. I'm now inside. I have rented this car. I have a piece of paper that says that I am in the car and I have the right to be in the car, and I'm not getting it. Because I've got this thing and it looks like a plastic toy. And I'm supposed to find a hole. And there is no ignition key. There is nothing. I'm just like, where do I put this thing? I looked in the glove box. I'm too proud to go back inside and tell them I don't get it. So I sit there and I look around and I find this little hole and I push the thing in and the car started. And I got it. Well, that's the first thing I got. There was a lot more that I had to get while I was in this smart car. But I finally got what she was talking about. So then I started it up and I decided that I was going to try this gear shift thing. Well, I also figured out that you have to wait until you're driving to change gears. Okay? Because I was thinking, you know, like on a normal car, when you have to change gears, you're supposed to move the thing around. Not on this. You got these little paddle buttons. Okay? And you toggle it one way for one gear and toggle it another way for a higher gear. And I mean, it was crazy. But as I looked inside there, I understood that I needed not just to get in the car, I needed to get it. That's what the word reproof means in 2 Timothy 3:16. What does that mean? Reproof. Well, you see, reproof means showing what is wrong. It's when the Bible shows us what is wrong in our life. And there were some things that were wrong about me, not about the car. The car didn't change. I had to change, but I had to get it. I had to understand what it is that I needed to do and that I had to figure it out. We need to understand the principles of God's Word. You see, God's Word has a purpose and God's Word has principles, but unless we understand those principles and unless we understand God's purposes, we may be getting into the Bible and we're now reading it and we're going, "I'm not getting it." You ever felt that way before? Unfortunately, a lot of people who get into the Bible and they don't get it, they get out. Boy, that's a big mistake. And as a matter of fact, to be honest with you, when I got in and I didn't get it, I was about ready to get out and go get something else. I mean, I asked the lady, I said, "Well, what would it cost for me to get an upgrade?" For one day. A one-day car. I was already paying $100, and that was the cheapest one. It was going to cost me $220, $120 more dollars to rent a car for one day that was bigger. I got in, but I wasn't getting it. And I almost got out. But since I didn't have the extra $120, I thought, "Okay, I got to figure this out." And I started looking around and I actually pulled out a little book that was in there and I started reading all this stuff. And I'm still seated in the parking lot of this rental car agency for 20 minutes trying to get it until I finally got it. You've got to spend some time in God's Word. It's not something that you can pick up and say, "Okay, well, I spent 30 seconds, that ought to be enough." You got to stay in the Word of God until you start to get it. You've got to get it. And so you get in, and then you get it. Have you ever felt like God's given it to you? I mean, you're reading the Bible, and I mean, you're really getting it from all sides. You go to the church, and the pastor's preaching, and you say, "Who told him about me?" But the fact is we do need to get in, and we need to get it. The third step, if we're going to reach perfection in God's eyes, is to get right. We've just got to get right. You see, that's what the word correction talks about. The word correction means to make right that which is wrong. And there's all kinds of things in our life that we would say, "Yes, I'm sure I'm not perfect. I'm sure I'm not right." Excellent. Tell me where you're wrong. Oh boy, that's really hard. I bet everybody in here would raise their hand and say, I'm not perfect. I realize I'm not perfect. Okay, could you give me a list of 10 areas in which you're not perfect? Well, I'm not sure if I could come up with that. The reason why is we're not getting it, and that's why we can't get right. Unless we receive something from God's Word, unless we're getting it from the Bible, we're not going to know how to get right. As I got into this little car, and I'm sitting here, and I'm thinking, man, this thing is small. And I received a message from somebody that said it looked like a casket on wheels. I'm thinking, thank you so much. And as I'm getting it, and I'm getting the ignition started, and I'm trying to figure out the whole thing with the different levers, and all these little paddles, and the changing the gears, and all this, and I'm thinking, okay, I've got to get it. But I had to get right. The car didn't need to change. I needed to change the way that I was looking at the car. Now this car got me where I needed to go. The car accomplished its purposes. The problem was not the car. The problem was me. The problem's not the Bible. The problem's not the church. The problem is us. And we're the ones that need to get right. And maybe you've gotten in, and maybe you started to get it, but you never got right. You see, that's why the Bible says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, get in. For reproof, get it. For correction, get right. You see, God doesn't just want us to read the Scriptures and to be pounded by all of these things that we know are wrong in our life. He wants us to change. He wants us to be a new creature. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's what God wants for us. He wants us to reach this level of perfection in His eyes. But we've got to get in. We've got to get it. We've got to get right. We've got to get right concerning salvation. Salvation is not by works. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. You can look at this car and you can say, "I'm going to change you. I'm going to make you different. I don't like you." But that car is the only way that I could have gotten to where I was going. My destination was unreachable unless I used that which God had provided. By the way, heaven's unreachable for you unless you use the means that God has provided. You may not like it. It may not appeal to you. But that is the only way to heaven. And so you need to get in. And you need to get it. And then you need to get right. But the fourth step, if we're going to achieve perfection in God's eyes, is simply this: to get going. You see, in verse number 16, the Bible says, "For instruction in righteousness." What I didn't tell you on purpose was that the word doctrine can also be translated as that which is right, that which is true. And I've got news for you. The Bible is always true. The Bible is always right. And so the Bible is something we need to get in because it's right. But sometimes we get messed up. And so we need to get it. And then we need to get right. And then after we get right, we've got to get going. You see, the word instruction in righteousness literally also could be translated as to continue doing that which is right. Yes, we get in. That's what's right. We get it. That's showing us what's wrong. We get right. That's doing what's right and changing that which was wrong. And then we get going so we can continue to do that which is right. Sometimes people get in. And they look around and they kind of get it. And there's a few things in their life that they actually even get right. But in a spiritual sense, they never get going. You ever seen somebody like that? Oh, they're in our Sunday school classes. They may be seated on the same pew with you. They're people that meet you and greet you and shake your hand and welcome you to church. But they just really never got going for the Lord. Oh, they got in and they got it a little bit. And they may have even gotten a few things right, but they just didn't get going. And I've got news for you. Unless we do all four of these steps, we take all four of these steps, we are not perfect in God's eyes. We still have some things we've got to work on. As I started driving down the road, I'm in this little tiny matchbox car that I had gotten in, and I got it, and I got everything right, and then I got going. And as I'm traveling, I'm realizing I'm driving 87 miles an hour in a little tiny smart car. And I'm passing other cars on the road, and I'm having to tone it down so that I stay under the speed limit. That car was powerful. The speedometer went up to 180 miles an hour. Whoa! The thing was incredible. But because of the way I was looking at it, it didn't look like something I wanted, but was everything I needed. And I got to tell you, the Bible is God's answer to man's ailments. When you and I come to church, we need to get in. We need to get it. We need to get right. And we need to get going. Concerning the Scriptures, we need to get in. We need to get it. We need to get right. And we need to get going. Concerning our service, we need to get in. We need to get it. We need to get right. And we need to get going. And I've got a question for you. Where are you in that process today? If you are not going for the Lord, if things are not right in your life, if you're just not getting it, if you haven't even gotten in yet, that's why God allowed you to come to this service today. He made this service today so that you and I could do what we need to do. Let's all stand with our eyes closed. Heavenly Father, bless this invitation. Lord, help us to get in, to get it, to get right and get going. If God has spoken to your heart this morning with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, would you just leave your place right now? There's some already coming forward. Would you just come right now, find a place to kneel and pray and say, "Dear God, help me to get in. Help me to just get it. Help me to get right. Help me to get going." Would you leave your place right now and come on up to the front? There's some already here praying. Would you come and join them?